1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe has been covered, kept under wraps. It's been covered. It's been silenced. It's been secreted away by the Marxist media and the Communist Network News. Very little has been said. You perhaps have not heard anything until today's broadcast about the AutoPen president. The AutoPen president, Joe Biden, the AI, artificial intelligence, AutoPen president, Joe Biden. But the question is, with the executive orders, the monetary amounts that was given out through the back door authorized by Joe Biden himself, did he sign it, or was it the AutoPen? And the major question ought to be asked, are those right now enforceable? Those executive orders, those AutoPen signings, documents, the pardons, are they enforceable? Can they be set aside? Should they be considered legal or illegal? I'm going to read part of an article, then we'll take our next callers. This article reads, "No AutoPens allowed. Why presidential pardons should remain a handwritten tradition." And it goes on to talk about the fact that the handwritten tradition, that pardons should be documented in handwriting. Here's another article that says, "Without his knowledge, would AutoPen climate orders be null and void?" Now listen, this is very serious. A nonprofit group that advocates for domestic energy production is calling on Congress to investigate several executive actions during the Biden administration, saying that they should be declared null and void based on their allegedly being signed by the AutoPen. As reported to Fox News, the organization called the Power the Future reviewed 8 Biden executive orders that it says were significant shifts in domestic energy policy, and said it is found no evidence of the president speaking about any of these publicly, raising concerns that the orders were signed by AutoPen and that he was not aware of them. These are not obscure bureaucratic memos. These were foundational shifts in American energy policy, yet not once did Joe Biden speak about them publicly. Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power of the Future, told Fox News. The specific orders cited by the group included an Arctic drilling ban 2023, a 2021 executive order committing the federal government to net zero emissions by 2050, an executive order mandating clean energy, AI centers, and offshore drilling banned executive orders shortly before leaving office in 2025. Quote, "In light of the growing evidence that actions reportedly taken by the former president may not have been approved or signed by himself, but instead promulgated by a small cadre of advisors in his name without his knowledge over his signature using the AutoPen, the need for congressional access to information has grown in importance with these revelations." The letter to the GOP House Oversight Chairman James Comer states, Congress deserves to know how or whether these executive actions were authorized and whether the former president was aware of such orders before they were implemented by the federal bureaucracy, end quote. It's a powerful question, powerful statement, and I'll go much further during the course of the broadcast. Not just those orders by about climate change, weather control, etc., but his executive orders for pardons, his executive orders in relationship to declaring that citizens are domestic terrorists, his position in all of his executive orders of that which we are now looking at. Christian parents were called domestic terrorists. Christians were refused to be able to be opted out of the COVID-19 jabs. Christians and churches and pastors and truth tellers were persecuted and prosecuted. Christian doctors and nurses and those that knew what was happening with the COVID jabs were kicked out of their practices. Dr. Fauci was allowed to run America with the COVID fiction and deceit program, and I could go on and on and on. How much of that did Joe Biden know? How much of that did he authorize? How much of that was decided in a cadre around him in pressing the button for the auto pen to sign Joe Biden's name? I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing good. The auto pen has been used for quite a while. Where the problem lies is twofold. It's designed to relieve administration overhead. So you have a staff meeting and you all agree on the minutes of the staff meeting, and then afterwards documents are brought forward, and then the CEO or the president then signs that document, which in turn either becomes an executive order or some other type of bureaucratic instrument or document. Where the issues lie in is, are there any executive orders outside of the White House staff minutes or meetings? And also, cognitively, did Biden understand the content of the meetings themselves? So with those two, you would do the determination. I listened to that interview that prosecutor, portions of it, did with Biden, and to be quite honest with you, I don't know how this man could have been cognitively capable of any decision on a national security issue level, or who you're going to put in place for dog catcher, to be quite honest with you. So I don't feel that any of those executive orders, and it has to be determined at what point, but any of that past that point are valid at all. And one other thing, historically, Edith Wilson was the wife of President Woodrow Wilson. He suffered a severe stroke in his second term, and she actually ran the executive for about 3 to 5 months, if I remember correctly. You know, obviously those are different times, but still, that shouldn't be allowed.
Jim, you're exactly right. Let's go back for just a moment and have a little powwow about the auto pen. The auto pen was used by Barack Obama. The auto pen was used very, very narrowly by George Bush. And the auto pen was designed especially where you've got, notices going out to military, et cetera, not necessarily just orders, but it had to go out to hundreds of branches or divisions or individual hands. The auto pen was authorized and could be used for those purposes. But it's never been authorized for an auto pen to be used for pardons and for executive orders in general. I'm looking at an article that talks about the risk of automation. The act of signing a pardon, therefore, is not merely a bureaucratic formality, but deeply personal act that encapsulates the moral and ethical considerations inherent to the executive's decision and his making the executive decision-making process. Moving away from handwritten signatures risks diminishing this important historical and ethical context. It goes on to talk about it's the loss of personal oversight. Handwritten pardons provide a tangible connection between the president, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on to talk about the cyberspace vulnerabilities, and I touched on that earlier in the broadcast. that what if they auto pin and everything that we've got, your telephone and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there is a way to break into it and to for thieves and for bad people to get in and change something. And the whole question is boiling down in the society today and through James Comer's executive research with his committee with U.S. House of Representatives. What if China were to get into the auto pin and declare war? What if Russia were to make a declaration of war and it's signed by the president? And then it's trickled down to the Department of Defense and the Pentagon, et cetera, et cetera. They implement it without the realization, the recognition the president didn't sign it at all. If that is, if it is the case where everything that Biden did, and I think just about everything that we found out that was taking place, Biden did not know it. He did not do it. Who decided to give the executive orders? Who made the decision to order the COVID vaccinations? Who made the decision of the executive orders to force women to allow males in the locker rooms, the shower rooms? Who determined and decided and made the decision about who would be pardoned and who would not? Who gave him the list? Can Biden under oath answer the question, who did you pardon? Name five of them. Name three of them. Why did you sign it, etc.? And I think, as you said, we'll find that his cognitive decline would have prevented completely Biden's cognitive decision to sign anything that would be called executive orders and or the pardons. Therein's where the problem exists today. So my question, Jim, in your opinion, if we can determine that most of the executive orders, if not in fact all, all of the pardons were signed by auto pen that Biden did not authorize or did not know, should they be set aside? Should they be considered still legal? Or could there be a challenge, a class action challenge from we the people to set them aside? How would that be handled? What is the, in your opinion, what is the mode of challenge that should take? And what is your opinion and thought about it being successful?
Well, all of those pardons were signed in the winter of his presidency. In other words, the last 3 months. Every one of them, in my opinion, is invalid because there's no way that he had the cognitive ability to understand the legal repercussions or the legal terminology of each pardon, because when President Trump just recently signed a pardon for that couple out there in Utah, he actually said, you know, here was the terms. We felt that the prosecution misrepresented the case. There was some mitigating testimony that was not given. And he gave a very detailed explanation as to why the pardon was given. And then he signed it. And then he gave it to the daughter and then those two individuals who were serving the husband and wife that had a reality show were then pardoned for out of their 12-year sentence. So I don't believe that he was capable of understanding the terminology or the complex issues of each individual case. And then the second part of that is how can you pardon somebody for a crime that they supposedly have not committed, but all future crimes and past crimes? That makes absolutely no sense at all. That's sounding very, very Stalinist in its meaning there. Show me the man and I will show you the crime, instead of, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. They haven't been proven or charged with anything, but yet now they're pardoned? That makes absolutely zero sense.
Jim, you're exactly right. One other question. Who, in your opinion, was the individual staff person or individual outside the room that made the determination, that gave the list of names for the pardon, that gave the idea of the executive orders? Who wrote them up? And then, who was it that pressed the button for the auto sign, in your opinion?
I believe it was all of the staff of the White House that colluded together, and I also would include Jill Biden and Jill Biden in that list as well, along with the chief of staff. I cannot recall his name. I think it's David. I don't remember. No. It's the guy that David Hogg was just talking about.
Yeah, it's Stephen Miller.
Stephen Miller, yeah. But I believe that they all colluded in it together.
I think so, but let me read this article and get your take on it, then we'll go to the next caller. Say, shh, don't tell Joe. infamous Democrat named on national TV as controlling Biden's auto pen. This is dated May 28th. Who exactly is the person who controlled the use of the Biden presidential auto pen? According to David Sacks, S-A-C-K-S, President Donald Trump's crypto and artificial intelligence czar, it was actually Democrat U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts who ran the electronic signing signature device. "Shh, don't tell Joe," said Jesse Waters on Fox News after Sacks spilled the beans on his primetime show Tuesday night. David Sacks just paid Pocahontas, just said Pocahontas had the auto pen and wasn't afraid to use it. Sacks claimed that Warren was the one that ran the auto pen due to her pathological hatred to the cryptocurrency. What the Biden administration was doing, and let's face it, it wasn't Biden. Elizabeth Warren controlled the auto pen during that full administration, according to this spokesperson. Jim, how do you respond to that, that Pocahontas had the auto pen?
It sounds to me like whoever had the most political pull at any given moment there was the one that had control of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got senators who have sway inside of the Oval Office or political sway because of public polling or whatever the matter, and they can go forward and say, "I need this done," and then it gets signed, to me, that's some shady stuff there, sir.
Yes, it is. In fact, the James Comer committee has now subpoenaed, I think there's five people, that were the five staff members that were closest to and forming the inner circle surrounding Joe Biden each and every day. And included in that five is Joe Biden's physician that has not even responded yet to the invitation to come and speak. I believe we're about to see the major revelation of those that were involved, and I believe they highly probable, in my opinion, that Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, controlled those four or five immediately around Joe Biden, and they either did it themselves or took orders from her, or they gave her the information. She then formulated it. It had to have been somebody, Jim, in my opinion, that had access to what I would call bill writing skills, the staff that had the authorization and the knowledge of how to write bills and documents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they all would look authoritative and would then carry his signature signed by the auto pen. So it demands our attention, because one of the things that's so egregious to me is the number of things where Christians were prosecuted and persecuted and named all kinds of things during the course of the Biden administration, and the open doors of the bathrooms for the women in sports, and everything that is antithetical to morals and ethics and values was implemented and carried out during the Biden administration. And now to find it was others around him. And it was bad enough to think that he did it, but it's doubly bad now that he was so cognitively impaired that he was the artificial intelligence in the Oval Office being run by the auto pen. So, Jim, it demands our prayer and our consideration. Thank you so much for your call today.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you as you keep looking up. I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, my comment is, of course, all of the auto pen executive orders and pardons should be declared invalid, but also who was controlling that auto pen? They should be tried for impersonating a president, and they should be thrown in jail, period. No trial, no holding anything. You were using the auto pen illegally. You're not the president. You're in jail right now, period.
I'm in agreement with that. I think it's a treasonous act. That's usurping the authority of the president. They had the availability of using the 25th Amendment to acknowledge, to recognize, and to have the process by which a cognitively depleted individual could be removed from the office. That would have been the honorable thing to do. But they chose the dishonorable, ungodly, unholy, unconstitutional pathway, and I believe they should be held, as you said, responsible. Derby, I'm looking at an article Title of the article, House of Representatives Zero In on the Auto Pen Use as Part of the Investigation in Biden's Health. As House Republicans prepare to investigate former President Joe Biden's health and mental fitness while in office, they are increasingly zeroing in on his use of the so-called auto pen to sign certain pieces of legislation and all executive orders. Auto pens have been used in the White House to generate signatures for decades, with Barack Obama being the first president to use it in signing legislation. This article reads, "We're focused on the auto pen," House Oversight Committee James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, said to the news media. Who was making the decision? Who was authorizing his signature? Was it him or others? There's no official record of how Biden used an auto pen for official governmental business. The Conservative Heritage Foundation released a study accusing the administration of using an auto pen exclusively, largely based on the timing of when Biden signed documents compared to when he was traveling. In other words, what they've already found is supposedly when he the date and time that he signed documents would have been impossible based on where he was and his traveling schedule around the globe. That's a telling sign, Derby, and you're exactly right. That needs to be traced down to the nth degree, needs to be identified who authorized it, when it was authorized, who pressed the button for it to be used, and I believe they should be charged with treason and treated accordingly. That is my opinion. Derby?
One more point. One more point. And we know that the media, the mainstream media, covered for Biden, and the Democrat Party is responsible for also covering. Now, let me bring that to the local media, the local TV media. They, too, were covering for Biden and lying to the America, to the Jacksonville residents, about everything that was happening with Joe Biden. So shame on the anchors of Channel 4, 12, whatever channels they are in Jacksonville. All the TV stations in Jacksonville are Democrat-controlled, and they lie to the American people, and they, too, should be held accountable, period.
You're exactly right. One of the things that is problematic is it goes back to the basic broad accusation that I've had for years and years and years. We have the Marxist media, that includes all of them, as well as the Communist Network News. That's an umbrella statement for all of the media. And right now, this issue that we're talking about today, our listeners have heard more about the auto pen, the details, the information, and the insight on it in this broadcast than with all of the news media time combined. All of the media time combined on this issue doesn't even make up one half an hour of total coverage about this statement about the auto pen, how it was used, and what's illegal about it. And that goes back to the point that you're making. It's the umbrella coverage, the secretive nature of most of our media today. We cannot go to the media, turn the television dial, and find a half hour, and out of the half hour, we can't find 30 seconds or a minute of correct, truth-telling news. In fact, as I roll the dial, Derby, I tell my wife, where's the news? I can go to all of the channels. Where's the news? What's news today? Why aren't we hearing the facts? In fact, some of the things that I cover on this broadcast, a week later or 2 weeks later, it might be touched on by some of the media because they're so far behind in digging out and carrying the truth. So it deserves our attention. And Derby, I'm concerned. I'm upset. I'm passionate about it because our religious liberties and our freedom of speech have been encroached upon by what we now find was an artificial intelligence, auto pen president that was making decisions for our lives, for our futures, for our family, and for our nation that can be very, very corrosive and destructive, even though Trump is trying to correct many of these things. Derby, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, that is very, very concerning to me. It says, House GOP Chair James Comer vows to probe all of the Biden staffers. We think we've identified them. House Oversight Chair, Committee Chairman James Comer on Friday ramped up his scrutiny over Joe Biden's mental capabilities while in office as he promised a new probe into the former president's use of the auto pen. Joe Biden wasn't capable. Listen, this article reads, Joe Biden was not capable of making decisions. He was not coherent, Comer said. We want to find out who was making the decision in the last 9 months, in particular, of the Biden White House. Comer's new threat to investigate senior Biden staffers came during an interview on Fox News where the lawmaker suggested top aides may have been signing executive orders and pardons on behalf of Joe Biden and without Biden's knowledge or consent. Quote, we think we've identified who the staffers are, Comer said Friday. We're going to bring everyone that we believe was involved in any role in this use of the auto pen. We're going to invite them to come for the transcribed interview. If they won't, they will receive a subpoena, and they will have a full-blown deposition. Comer named First Lady, listen to this, Comer named First Lady Jill Biden possibly being involved and added that the investigation could also look into whether the president's son, Hunter Biden, had any role in the former president's auto pen use. And I'll insert this thought. It's been discovered that Hunter Biden spent many, many, many days seated in the Oval Office making decisions, as we've been told, in lieu of his dad as president. So my question is, did Hunter Biden collude with Pocahontas, that's Elizabeth Warren, and through his cooperation with Elizabeth Warren or vice versa, and then that trickling down to 3, 4, 5 staff members, is that the process by which this came about? This article concludes this way. Comer named First Lady Jill Biden as possibly being involved and added that the investigation would also look into whether or not Hunter Biden, his son, used the auto pen. Don't rule out Hunter Biden, he said. He spent a lot of time in the Oval Office in the last 3 months of the presidency of Joe Biden. And then I've got a major article timed that will not allow us to even investigate a portion of it. Presidential use of the auto pen. And it talks about it was allowed for the auto pen, correspondence of ceremonial documents, military commission and certificates, legislation with authorization to use it. But it goes into details of the legal yeas and nays, the legal authorization, and the illegal use of the auto pen. Most of what we're understanding that Biden signed, supposedly, with the auto pen was illegal, should be overturned, considered null and void, and absolutely vacated. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.